Blog Talk Radio.
Luke 19.
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said therefore, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those...
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we are live on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Today is December the 10th, just for those who are keeping track. And just to let you know, so we are live this morning at 9 a.m. If you're listening online, welcome. For those who have called in, it's 646-668-2636. We thank you and appreciate you for joining us. And we pray that something be said today during this episode that would encourage you in your faith. As always, brothers, we just want to encourage you. We are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. moving forward. And for the rest of the year of 2022 and 2023, again, we're in the works to transition into video and go in the studio, go on site, and start to record some of our discussion panels and be able to go out and meet and greet one to another and be in person. So we're going to be working. We're still working on that. We're looking forward to making that transition coming up in January, and we're going to be inviting you to come out and join us and be in the audience, be on the panel, and again, continue to talk about those things, deal with the issues of life, and talk about those things that we can encourage one another. Amen. Elder Mark, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. I'm blessed. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Brother, I'm going to ask you to open us up in prayer, if you would, this morning. And again, I appreciate you, man, taking time out and coming on live every Saturday morning, getting up with sunrise and and being ready to go.
Amen, amen. Well, it's definitely an honor and a blessing. So I thank you for the opportunity. Father God, amen. We honor you, bless you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord God, We come before you, Lord God, as humbly as we know how, presenting ourselves as your willing and able servants. Thanking you, Lord God, because you are King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. And we recognize each and every day, Lord God, that there's no one like you, Lord God. No name greater than your name, Lord God. So we thank you for this opportunity to draw together, Lord God, to just spend some time in your word, in discussion, Lord God, so that we continue to learn more about you and thus about the calling of our lives, Lord God, that as men, Lord God, we'll join together, Lord God, that words can be shared, Lord God, that would change your heart, change your mind, Lord God, change your perspective, so that we would stand in a place to lean totally upon you and not that of our own understanding. Father God, we just thank you, we honor you and bless you for this day, for every day. We give you praise, glory, and honor, and we lift a hallelujah to you as we say hallelujah and amen.
Amen, amen, brother. Well, gentlemen, today we're going to start in again. We're going to continue a conversation we started earlier in the week. And, again, we're discussing the book Seven Friendships Every Man Needs by Justin Erickson. And we're working out of Chapter 6 right now. If you received this on a text, email, or the link from Facebook, if you reach out to me, I can get you a book. We have a couple of books still here. We're still here on our shelves that we've just been gifting out and blessing brothers with. Or you can also, if you're far, far away from the Baltimore, D.C. area, you can go online at Amazon, or you can go to christianbooks.com and get your copy of the book. Again, it's called Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. And it's by Justin Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. And, again, we're going to be talking about chapter number 6. And it's talking about basically what we talked about before, but it's about having those friends, those unsafe friends, having those around you, being in fellowship, being in connection, and being engaged with unbelieving brothers. In the book, it started in the beginning. Quick recap, it talked about in the beginning of the book, the author was talking about writing down a list of five unsaved men that you know need the hope of Jesus Christ, need to be mentored and discipled in the things of Christ, that they might give their life to Christ and be saved. Amen? And then this is all, and it's about who we are in Christ, to evangelize, to spread the gospel, to reach out to the lost. And we talked about being around light, being around light, being around light, being around light in our Christian life, our Christian car, our Christian home. It was a lot. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But everything we do has got Christian in the front of it. But we are not in that. We are failing to reach the lost. We're failing to engage in the community, and we're failing to have people in our life who need to hear the gospel. It's as simple as that. I want to read something, a quote from this book, and then I'm coming to you, Elder Mark, and tell me what you're thinking as we jump back into it, because we're starting on strategy number 4. But I just wanted to read this for the brothers hearing, to understand what is God saying. By God's design, we are where we are. God has put us in a web of relationships that have eternal consequences. We walk each day from divine appointment to divine appointment. Now, for us as men of God who believe and come to faith, believe Jesus Christ, and we're saved, and we believe the Word of God, we live the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Every relationship is an opportunity. Every life that we touch is an opportunity to either to encourage, support, minister to one another, and especially to the lost. So we can't take for granted. We can't not be salt and light in this culture. And we all have unsafe friends. We have brothers that we know need Christ. That they still live in the life that we used to live. So it's not like it's something where it's we're strangers to. We don't understand. We don't know what they're going through. You know, we know dudes who still drink, smoke, womanize, lie, cheat, all the things we used to do. We know men that still live that life and don't see nothing wrong with it. Even though we may be saved, then we may be the only light they can see. But are we being that light? Do we engage them? Are our relationships having an effect on their lives just because we befriend them? And that's the whole point. Who are our friends? Who's in our circle that we might influence? So that's what this is, basically this chapter is talking about, and we're going to discuss that a little bit deeper. But Elder Mark, what do you say, sir, as we begin to jump in?
Amen. Well, yes, sir. Definitely. Once again, we're consistently just talking about relationship and the relationships we have are for a purpose. And as you said, Deacon, you said it so greatly that, you know, it's some men out there, the relationship that we have, it's some there that we will be the only example of Jesus that they see. We will be the only example of the body of Christ that they see or are even willing to connect to because they knew you in your past. You can be an example of what God can do when God is allowed to work. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon us. But when we do take on salvation, when we do take on a position of belief, when we do take on this Christian walk, we are called to walk as an example. We're called to exude the very fruit of the Spirit. And as we do so, we are an example to our brothers. You know, so many of us were lost, and still so many of us are lost. We're lost in the ways of the world. But if there's someone around you, and you being that brother, you being that one for a brother out there, if you can be that light that will guide them out of that dark place, if you can be that example that will allow them to see what happens when you spend your time in God, when you trust God, when you believe God, when you leave the ways of the world behind, they can see in you what happens, because God is continually working on us all. And it's not to say that you're some perfect person walking around that's going to be the exemplary, you know, picture on the wall, but that you're allowing God to work on you. And just as God is working on you, and God will continue to work on you, he can do the same for them. So you have the opportunity to be an example of who God is and whose we are as we serve God. Back to you, my brother.
Amen, amen. Amen, brothers, let me say this. You know, as we move forward here, because we're talking about Luke chapter 19 and Zacchaeus and how Jesus met him. That's what the author of the book was using that episode in Scripture to talk about the unsaved and what Jesus did for Zacchaeus and how he reached out to Zacchaeus, even though what the crowd around him was saying about him, because of Zacchaeus' reputation. He was a tax collector. He was a thug. He was stealing money. He was making a lot of money, and he was making a lot of money off the backs of people. And people resented him for it. He worked for the Romans. There was a whole cultural thing going on where the righteous would never be seen hanging with him. So I want to take that back to our lives. Are we afraid to reach out to those because we don't want to be seen hanging around them to try and protect our so-called reputation as a Christian now, that I'm saved now and I don't go to these places, I don't do these things? But that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, we talked about this before. I want to be clear for the brothers that are listening. You have to be saved and delivered and set free and not inbound to those sins where you're going to be connected and they're going to have a greater influence on you than you have on them. Because we all got sinner friends, hopefully. I still got friends that are sinners. So I will go under that label. They call Jesus the friend of sinners. And we have to understand the unrepented, the unbelieving, the unredeemed, and the undelivered is why Christ came. This is why Christ died on the cross, because we were, we've got to remember who we were to remember why Christ came to begin with and what the call on his life was to do. He came to seek and save the lost. And not just because we're not lost, are we called to do what he did, to seek to save the lost by sharing the gospel, by befriending them, by being salt and light, by the fulfillment of the Great Commission. These are all things that the church is called to do. So we all have to search our hearts and see where we're at. Do we have the heart of Christ to do what Christ did and what he called his church for? Like we talked about this earlier, what is the purpose of the church? And are we fulfilling that purpose? In all the stuff we do, are we fulfilling the purpose of the church? Because remember, we are the church and not the building. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring in, and also if you called in at 646-668-2636, please press 1 on your keypad. I can bring you in. Got brothers on the own. I see you on the switchboard. I see you on the air. Just push 1 on your keyboard when you're ready to come in and want to share some wisdom, insight, or commenting. Amen. So, bro, I'm going to go to something here, and I'm going to get your thoughts on it. I'm reading here because it talked about something on page 152. For those brothers who may have the book and may have read it. But it says something here. It says, because it's talking about, let me just read the paragraph, and then we're going to come back and discuss it a little bit. It says, to the people of that day, when he entered someone's house, we were entering into a person's sphere of life and circle of influence. To many, doing this was the endorsement of the lifestyle of the owner. What's more, to eat with such a person was like having fellowship with darkness. How wrong the religious leaders were because of their self-righteousness. They were in the dark, too. Their spiritual eyes were blind, and here was the light of life at Zacchaeus' door, chasing the darkness away. And when I read that and I thought about, are we living lives of Pharisees? That we're so righteous that we don't want to taint our so-called reputation by being seen the friend of sinners and hanging around sinners and be seen where they're being seen. Because like it says here, for those who don't know the scriptural story, again, I send you to Luke 19 to read the full story. But he went to, he told Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to spend the day with you, spend an evening with you, and eat with you, and go into that. That's like us getting involved in the lives of people to where they are. Because we cannot minister to someone if we don't go to where they are and engage them. And see what their struggles are, and see who they are, what they're dealing with, and then show them how Christ is the answer to their issues. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Well, yes, sir. You know, and in this story, of course, he's saying, "I must go with you. I must spend time with you. I must stay at your house." And we must spend time in people's lives to be an example. We must be the very light in the darkness they're living in. Like I said, and we said, sometimes you are the only example of a Christ-like person. You are the only example of Christ. So when you decide to spend time with someone who's still in that dark place, you are the example that helps them to see the light. And Pastor Larry said it last the other day when we were speaking about this. He said, you don't put a light in a room full of light, because all you're doing is lighting up lights. You know, we as Christians, we were at one point in a dark place, but someone stepped in, someone prayed, someone shared the word, someone shared the good news, someone shared salvation so that we could come out of the place that we were in. And yes, we are still all working on coming away from that place and leaving that place behind. But as we do, we are in a place that we can do the same for somebody else. You know, once you've been exposed to light, you no longer have to live in darkness, but someone else who's still in darkness hasn't seen light yet. You are the one that has to be that. So if you're light and won't go into a dark place, what good are you? If you're salt and you're never added to the unflavored, what good are you? You're not going to keep adding salt to something that's already flavored, to something that's already in a good place. The reason for the salt is to add a salinity, to add a flavor to something different that doesn't have it yet. So we are supposed to go out and spend time with those that don't have the understanding of who God is. Someone worked on you. Someone prayed with you. Someone helped you get to a place that you have an understanding of who God is, and that's our commission. That's the Great Commission, to share the good news. But if you're sharing good news, you're not sharing anything. If you're sharing the same news with the same people over and over again, what are you doing? What fruit are you producing is the question we asked on the previous episode. What fruit are you producing if you only spend time with those who already know God? You have to take time to find, like those people in your life are in your life for a purpose. You're in their life for a purpose. You may be the only one that they'll ever connect with that will say yes that will lead them to saying yes to salvation because of who you are, because they know you, because they have a relationship with you, because they trust you, because they see what God is doing in your life. Each and every day, you know, I'm blessed. Some of my very good friends are still in a place that I was in, a place where, you know, smoking, drinking, fornicate, the place where I was. But now that I'm not in that place, that I'm walking and standing in a place that I represent God, that I represent God, I'm doing that in their lives. So now when a situation comes about that they don't know how to deal with, they're calling me, hey, bro, can you pray with me? Of course, my brother, of course. Is there something else we can talk about? Is there something else I can share? You want to go hang out and have a bite to eat so we can just talk about what's going on in your life? That's the place that we're called to be, so that we can do just like Jesus was doing for Zacchaeus, showing those around them that you still deserve, you still need to be reached, and I'm not going to draw back because I'm so Christian that I can't spend time with you. I'm so upright that I can't spend time with you. But Jesus was in a place that I want to be a blessing to you. No matter where you are in life, I want to get you to the place that you deserve to be. And the place that we all deserve to be is receiving those words of, well done, my good and faithful servant, receiving the eternal life and the eternal salvation that Jesus promised us. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. And again, brothers, we have to really search our hearts. Do we have the heart of Christ when it comes to reaching the lost? Again, when we are rooted and grounded, now what are we doing? Are we ministering? Are we going into communities? Are we got, you know, it's a lot to it. But right now, we want to focus on those men that you have a connect, you have a relationship with or previous relationship with, and are you sharing the gospel with them? Do you have an urgency? Do you love them enough to want to affect their eternal destiny? Where would they spend eternity? We all know that as human beings, when we leave this earth, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Do we love our friends enough to engage them on the eternal questions of life? And even in that, give them hope in the situations they're going through. Because someone bring hope into our lives. Someone bring light into our lives. Someone spoke into our lives. Someone prayed for us, for every one of us, to get to the where we place now as we call ourselves men of God, as we call ourselves righteous, as we call ourselves the sons of God, as we read and study Scripture. And I want to add this too, because we have to. There's one thing I want to think, want us to all think about and understand. There's a difference between encouraging the body of Christ, one another, as in men's groups, men's fellowships, men's ministry, men's Bible study, encouraging each other to grow spiritually in the body, and then also mentoring and discipling and bringing someone in to the body, into the faith, reaching the lost. I believe it's two separate things, and we have to separate those. Because it's fine. We have Christian friends. We have those that uplift us, encourage us, and uphold us in the things of God. But now, are we doing? Do we have the same passion and love for the lost that we want to get them to that place? And that's what it's about. Being friends with someone who doesn't believe, who's unrepentant, who's still living a life of sin, but yet we're befriending them. We're willing to step into their lives. Just like Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house, are we willing to step into folks' house, you know, metaphorically, step into their lives, what's going on with them, that they can come to you? Even, brothers, the sinner man struggles. The sinner man struggles in his marriage. Sinner man struggles in his job. Sinner man struggles with right, wrong, whatever. We all know brothers who got multiple women. And don't think, I don't like using this term, but the mother of their children that they're not married to, and dealing with those issues of child support and dealing with the mothers of you know, their children that they have because they're not married and not in a committed relationship, and dealing with, you know, other women or women that they're dating now that have kids by other men, all of it. This is what the culture is. But again, in those circumstances, are we befriending those brothers to encourage them through those obstacles? It's funny. We were just in a men's fellowship like last month, and this issue came up with brothers who wasn't taking care of their kids because of the mother of their children. They're not with them no more by divorce, or they were never married or whatever, but call themselves men of God, and they're having issues with taking care of their children and dealing with the mother of their children. And that thing, we could have went another 2 hours on that thing. But these are the things where we can minister to and show them there's a different way than what the culture says, what their daddy told them, what their uncle told them, what the streets are telling them. Are we bringing a hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, into their situations? And that's where we have to be as men of God in all times and all circumstances, and be connected with them even when they're going through. You know what I'm saying? Even when they're going through, when the sin is eating them up like a disease, are we there to comfort and minister and help them through? What do you say, brother?
Amen. Yes, sir. And yes, that conversation definitely could have went a little bit longer. If we had more time, it was getting really in depth. There was a lot of conversation.
Amen.
The fact that we need to be able to have conversation. We need to be able to converse with men, Christian men, as well as men of the world, because it gives us a perspective. It gives us an understanding. And when you spend time fellowshipping together, it allows you to get beyond the walls. It allows you to begin to have that level of trust where you can walk with somebody. That's why Jesus said, I must go stay at your house. I must spend time with you. I must get into your personal space. I must get into what you do behind closed doors, who you are behind the closed doors, so I get beyond the mask and really see what's going on so that I can really begin to minister to you as the whole man. And that's what we have to do as Christian men, as examples. We have to minister to the whole man. So we can't just say, oh, well, you know, get this part of your life together or fix this. But we have to be able to minister to them where they are in everything that they're dealing with. And like Deke said, sinner men, and just as Christian men, we all are struggling to uphold. We're all struggling to get through the daily life. Just because a sinner man is believed to accept all the ways of the world, it still doesn't mean that he isn't struggling with it, that he doesn't want change, that he doesn't desire change, or that even if he doesn't know that there is a need for change, that he's not in a place of struggle. We have to be that one. We have to be that example. We have to be, for once again, the cliche statement, we have to be our brother's keeper. We have to be the one that stands beside them when they fall, when they're walking upright. We have to be the ones, because at some point, even in our Christian walk, we will fall short of the call upon our lives. We will make a mistake, but the word says a righteous man would get back up 7 times. Sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to fall, but even in that, even in our fall, in our mess up, we can still be an example to someone who doesn't know who Christ is, because he sees that even when we fall, we still lean upon God. When we mess up, we still lean upon God and ask God for forgiveness. We leave that thing behind us and move on to that, back to that place of righteousness, continuing on that road, continuing to strive to do something different. We don't fall back into it. We don't become that doesn't become our new way. We don't go back into the old thing and start living that life again. But just because we are saved doesn't mean we won't make a mistake. But even in that making a mistake, once again, we can be an example. We can be the ones who just consistently share who God is. That's what Jesus did. He continually shared who he was. He continued to share the love, that unconditional love. It didn't matter if it was prostitute. It didn't matter if it was tax collector. It didn't matter if it was Sadducees, or it didn't matter who it was. He always shared the love. Whoever was in front of Christ got his full attention, got his full love, got everything that he was, and that's who we have to be. Whoever is in front of us, we have to give them our full love, the unconditional agape love that will love them through their situation, no matter where they're standing, no matter how they've fallen, or no matter what they're struggling with. We still have to share the love that is God and continue to love them through it. And in loving them through it, we are the light that shows them that we can be different than the world. We can be different than the world that condemns them, than the people that say that they're not worth it, than the people that say that they're not going to ever be anything. Some of the most powerful people in the church were drug dealers, sinners, prostitutes, but because Jesus changed who they were able to walk in a place that another man would not walk. A drug dealer in a corner that changes his life can go back into that same hood and make changes to those who saw him before, just as we can. You have to connect with those that are in your life and be an example and show them God can change them just as he changed you. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, brothers. You're listening. It's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark. And we're just talking about being friends of sinners today and about the need that we have as men of God, being rooted and grounded in the Word of God, living a life of righteousness, living a life to please God, but yet we are willing to reach out to the lost, to engage the lost, to be friends of the sinner, that we might give them hope and might bring them in. I just want to encourage each one of us, because this is a thing that each man has to search his heart about. Do we have a passion for the lost? I mean, that's where it begins. And then if we don't, we need to repent and we need to pray and understand why did Christ come? Why did Christ have to die? We're rolling up here on Christmas, another Christmas. We're going to celebrate with gifts. We're going to celebrate all these things, the holidays and everything and family. But we have to get to the place where we remember why was this child born. This child is a child that was prophesied in Genesis. When Adam and Eve first fell, God made a promise to redeem the human race. And this child that we're going to celebrate was born to die for the sins of the world. And that's where we can start, that every man's a sinner. The reason this child needed to be born of a virgin, to fulfill the call, fulfill the promise that God made. Because remember, Jesus Christ is a fulfilled promise of God. And us as a church, we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that preaching, that teaching, and understand when this Christmas season comes, we disengage. Well, I'm going to say, we have to disengage from the emotions of the season and get back to the Word of God and the gospel. Because this is the gospel message, that this baby needed to be born because of the sins of the world, to redeem us, to set us free from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, and that we might be the church, and that we might reach the lost before God comes back in his wrath. And that's what we have to get to at Christmas. I mean, trust me, I'll say this in all transparency. It's been years for myself to get to that place, to understand it, but that's where if we search the Word of God, if we study the Word of God, and we get to the place, and then we have to look at what's going on in the culture and traditions and all look through all of that to remember what the Word of God says about this time and this season. And for preachers and pastors and teachers, I pray that you would just seek God's truth on the issue and preach from the Word. Preach the Christmas message from Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3, because that's where it begins, that promise. You know, let me not preach. I'm gonna circle back around. Amen. You're listening to It's Christmas Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, but yet continue to press in. Brother, I'm going to talk about something here. Well, let me check something here. Pastor Larry, are you there? Can you hear me? I see him on the clipboard.
Hello, Deacon.
I'm sure
doing,
he can
man?
Hear me. Hey, you
I
are
can
here.
Hear you,
hey. All right. I see you on the switchboard. I'm like, can he hear me? I don't know. He ain't say nothing. He ain't do nothing. But, hey, man, oh, you were just listening in? You can go back incognito, brother. I can delete this part out.
No, that's all right, man. I've been enjoying the conversation.
Amen, amen. Well, let me know you're ready to jump on in, because we talk about the same thing. We're talking about friends of sinners, and how it's important that we have these are men in our life. The men are in our life, if we got to the place where we're self-righteous, arrogant, I call it Pharisaical, about who we are, and we don't go to these places, we don't talk to these people, and we start to, you know, separate. But again, there's a difference between connecting with them, but being connected with them for the purpose of the gospel. And we have to look at the example of Jesus Christ. We have to look at the example of Paul and Peter and what they did and what Paul did on his missionary journeys. He went out to the Gentiles, these were non-Jew Gentiles, to share the gospel and spread the gospel and all of what he was called to do in all the area. And we have to have the same mindset. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to be connected with, we have to be the friends of sinners. That's my new favorite catchphrase for this episode. Friends of sinners, and what are we doing? Again, in the book, right, it talks about writing down and building yourself a prayer list for five brothers. I challenge you, brothers, to just pick one man. One man you know that's unredeemed, unrepentant, unsaved, lost, and undelivered. And you know that he's struggling, and you know that God can be the answer for his life. To be able to, again, not necessarily to deliver him from his circumstance, but as we all know, to be able to endure through our circumstances. I think that's the biggest thing that we have to be able to preach and teach is the endurance. Because when we hear deliverance, we think God's going to take away all our problems and make it wonderful. That's not what deliverance we're talking about. But we are talking about persevering of the saints and being able to persevere through the circumstances until God moves and changes our circumstances and puts us in another place. And a lot of men need that, because a lot of men give up because it's too Amen. Much. The burden is too much to bear. The weight of it, the challenges of it, it wears on their emotions, their mental capacities, and they just give up. They disengage and they step out. But through God, through the Holy Spirit, if we bring a man to faith, know who he is, whose he is, and why he was created, he can endure those challenges of life and come out on the other side and be an example. Amen? So that's what we want to just encourage mm-hmm. brothers in that. Elder Mark, what do you say? Well, Elder Larry, you want to share something, or you good?
No, I want to share something. I was sitting here, and I was listening to the conversation, and Elder Mark is doing an excellent job, man. I appreciate always being in his presence. I was listening to the conversation, and the thing that came to mind was the movie Justice League. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Justice League, mm-hmm. but there's a point in the movie where the superhero Batman is talking to the superhero Flash, and they're trying to save some people who are trapped by the villain. And the Flash says to Batman, he says, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I've never fought anybody. So what do I do? And Batman says to him, he says, save one. He's like, go get one. And he's like, and after that, we'll see what happens. And what ends up happening is that superhero goes in and saves one person. And he realizes the joy and the satisfaction and the fulfillment he found in helping that one person, and ends up going back and saving another. This is the thing that's important that we know, is that it's not only that it's just plain selfish not to reach back and help another brother. Because like I said in the last conversations, there's brothers that are waiting for you that are waiting for your flavor. They're waiting for your style. They're waiting for your salt and your light to come into fruition in their lives. If you look at the scripture, man, it's interesting because everything we've been talking about is in the scripture. The first thing that it says is that Jesus came through Jericho. Jesus walked through a curse. Jericho was a cursed city. And Jesus walked through a cursed city to come find Zacchaeus, meaning that he had to deal with all of his issues, all of his other things that were going on in his life to come find this one particular man. And it says that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. He wanted to see him. But his problem was that he had a flesh problem. there was too much flesh. There was, it says the crowd was blocking him. And then he said he had to run ahead and climb in a tree because he was too short. He had a flesh problem, man. And as you said, there are brothers out here that have that want to see Jesus, but they believe that they're caught up in too much of their own stuff, too much of their own mess, too much of getting high, too much of womanizing, too much of all of this, and they believe that, no, nobody will accept me in the church. Nobody will accept me in this, but they want to see Jesus. They want something different. They want a new life, and they're waiting for somebody to come in and say, come on down. The first thing Jesus did was to address his flesh issue. Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I know you're short. I know the crowd is blocking you. I know you got a flesh problem. Come down out of the tree. And we need to be the ones that can address that issue that that brother is dealing with, that issue that that they have, and accept them. This is the reason why I created Salt and Light Ministries, was to reach out to people who love God, who love Jesus, but were afraid of church, were afraid of the religiousness, were afraid of the fact that they would be judged and be ostracized because they don't look like the regular Christian. But because of a brother that reaches out to them, and then he says he did it on purpose. He said, make haste because I must come to your house. We need to be able to live on purpose, man. The purpose is to let our light shine because there are people that are waiting for us. There are brothers that are out here that are looking for something different, and they're looking for acceptance. They're looking for somebody to tell them, look, man, it's okay you got problems. It's okay you got issues. It's okay you got this. Let me show you a different way to live. And if we don't share that, if we don't step in, we are just completely selfish. We are completely selfish, and we're not sharing our light. We're not sharing our flavor. And we need to make sure that we do that. The last thing the scripture says is that Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. This is our purpose. This is living on purpose, man. This is it. This is our job, to save that which is lost. And if we don't do that, again, we're just being plain selfish. What do you think, sir?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. I mean, you said it there. I just put the brothers, we just need to meditate. You know, it's just Christian Men's Talk and the men's ministry, the man of ministry. These are the things that we want to encourage the brothers of faith with. Also, for the unbelieving brother that may be listening, if you got this link off to Facebook, somebody sent it to you, you know, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Let me say it like that. And I know brothers, Elder Mark was talking earlier about the exes and people who've come from some things. You know, I've been to a lot of churches, a lot of ministries, and I've seen folk, let me put it this way. I've seen the folk who were born in the church, and I've seen the folk who had a past. And I see a passion that goes different levels of passion for the things of God. Some people take the body of Christ for granted. They take church for granted because, you know, they've always been saved, and they whatever. But I've known, you know, I look back over my life now, and I see all the pastors and elders and most of the men that I've been drawn to, they were all ex-somethings. So I don't have a problem. I understand and seeing what God has done. I know very few men of God, who were actually raised in the church, and they have there's a different flavor. I'm going to put it like this, because elders, I'm going with you, Elder Larry. There's men of different flavors in the body of Christ. There's a flavor of those brothers who was raised in the church and their grandfather was a bishop, pastor, elder, deacon on the board, or whatever. And then there's the brother who came to church after he's been in the world and understand what the things he's done, has a past, has some real sin that he's been repented and things he's been delivered from. So there's two different kinds of flavor. So I'll tell any brother out there, you have to find the flavor that fits you. Because sometimes the brother who ain't been through some of the things you've been through don't know, can't tell you nothing, and you're not going to receive it from him. That's why I always say that if you're in the body of Christ, there's your voice. There's someone who needs to hear your voice and hear the gospel from you and your heart condition. You know what I mean? Because an alcoholic, a non-alcoholic can't tell an alcoholic. A non-drug user, abuser, can't tell a drug abuser what God can do. Ex-womanizer, pimp, liar, cheater, womanizer, whatever you was, if that I was that, I could talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. You're going to hear something in my voice, and it's going to be familiar because I understand what you're doing. I understand how much you like it. I understand the joy you got out of it, but I'm trying to bring you to another joy. I'm trying to bring something out that'll affect your eternity because those things you're doing now, I could tell you. I know how I feel, but that's not really it. That's the enemy tricking you. You understand? So I this is why we all, there's a soul, again, I'll say it again, there's a soul that's waiting to hear you speak up for God and give them hope to change their mind, to change their attitude, change their circumstance, and give them a hope that God can save them, can change them, can renew their mind, their lives, and then they can stand before him. The biggest thing that God can use them, it's not just the salvation, which is one miracle that he will change and transform them, but now that God is going to actually use them to help someone else's life. But I think I was looking at it like Luke 15, verse number 7, the rejoicing in heaven. Oh, the mark, what do you say about that? I sent you some notes on it, but the rejoicing in heaven, we got to understand what that really means. What do you say, sir?
Well, I'm going to read verse 7 real quick. I was looking at it just from the notes you sent me. Verse 7 says, and this is of course, is Jesus speaking. He says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who never need repentance. Wow, the joy in heaven. Heaven is rejoicing when just one sinner repents, when one man of the world changes his mind and repents and says, God, I need you. When he makes the choice to say, God, I need you in my life. I need you to be the guide for me. I need you to be my direction. I recognize you as my savior. The joy in heaven comes when that man changes his mind. And that one man may be the one that's looking at you because he knew you, because as Pastor Larry said, I love it the way you said it, brother, and always a pleasure to hear your voice. I got to shout that out real quick. But the way he said it, that your flavor, that the way you are, the way you're wired, your circuitry, the relationship. An example that I have, one of my very good friends, we grew up together. We've been friends. We met when we were like 5 or 6 years old, and today, to this day, is still my brother. But he still lives a way of the world. But he's gone from a person who was almost a self-proclaimed atheist to now going to church with his fiance. And he's going because of seeds that I helped to plant. I got to a place where in the morning I called him every morning and just prayed with him. Sometimes he was like, Mark, I don't really have time for it. I don't want to hear it. Other times he was like, bro, I need it right now. I need to hear you pray for me. I need you to lift the word on my behalf. But that only happened because we lived a life together. We drank together. We smoked together. We partied together. So now I'm in a position that when I speak to him, I'm speaking to him from a truth of salvation. I'm not speaking from a place of, I don't know anything about your life. I've always been in church. And there's nothing wrong with those, and please don't take it wrong for those that were raised in the church. It's not at all what I'm saying. But it's easier for someone who has had a relationship with a person of the world or has been in that place to be an example. If you always had a suit on, you can't tell the man in tattered clothes how to clean up. He's not going to see your example. You've never been where he's been. You haven't walked up. You haven't walked in his shoes. You haven't stood where he stood. You haven't been on the block. You haven't been on the corner. So you can't tell him what he can leave and what he should do next, what he should do different, because he needs to see someone else who has been delivered or been changed from the way he's used to finding something different that gives them more. And for me, that was my opportunity. He was one of the brothers that's still on my list that I consistently work on. And I know each and every day I may not be the one that can water the seed, but I can most certainly plant the seed. And I can most certainly be there to encourage him and to help him stand strong and to just be a shoulder, to be a brother, to be an example. And I'm honored to be in that place. I'm glad that God used me and let me bear my cross and gave me the strength to bear my cross so I can get to the place that I can walk upholding my cross now. No longer am I weighed down by my old ways, but I can stand and walk proud that God delivered me through my old ways so I can be an example to someone else who's still dealing with my old ways, if that makes sense. Back to you, sir.
Amen, 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 brothers. Brothers, I just hope you hear and understand the passion of what we're saying here, that we are the church. That's what we have to get back to, brothers. Pastors, elders, teachers, deacons, men of God, we have to get back to the basics and the foundation of who we are and what the church is called to be and do in this culture. You know, we get distracted by a lot of things. We get distracted by a lot of things the culture does. But we have to get back to what the Word of God is telling us to be as the church, to be the salt and light, to reach others, to encourage others to the way, to encourage each other, you know, to take the Scripture, live out the Scripture, show how to apply the Scripture to one another, encourage those, and continue to be able to reach the lost, to be able to help brothers deal with the issues of life as being husbands, fathers, and sons, and to encourage them. And also to encourage, support, hold each other accountable, and at times rebuke. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of the maturing process. That's all part of who we are in Christ and what we're called to be. Because, again, we all want to stand before God and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We want to be used by God, and that's the thing we have to get back to. This is the thing that I pray. I pray that you would pray it in your quiet time, in your devotion time, in your meditation time, that the Word of God will come alive, and God will speak to you through His Word and guide you through His Holy Spirit on what we should be doing as the church. Because we are, again, we are the hands and feet of Christ right now. And the Holy Spirit living with each of us, we should be able to connect. We could do more together than we can separately and reach the lost. Remember, we talk about eternal destiny. This is why this is my own commentary right here. This is why the prosperity, health, and wealth gospel was of the enemy and was planted to try and kill people. Because everything is about now and here on earth and getting better and being better and having stuff. But Jesus talked about that. The Bible talked about having a bunch of stuff that's going to, the moth is going to eat it and it's going to rust away. My favorite thing for that is, where's the clothes you had 10 years ago, and where's your first car? And the junkyard is full of hopes and dreams that people used to wash every week and polish every week and do the tires every week. I can get a used tire now for $5. Somebody paid $100 for it and cleaned it every week. I'm just saying. Amen, amen. Brothers, I'm going to go around. Mm-hmm. Again, I appreciate you, brothers, for being part. And we're going to go around and close out. Elder Mark, I'm going to start with you. And Brother Larry, Pastor Watkins, I'm going to come to you and close us out in prayer, if you would, sir. Just your final thoughts and a final word for the brothers. And again, men, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are live every Saturday morning. We encourage you to come and join us at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636, or you'll get the link off the Facebook page. You just link. You can listen online on your phone, on your computer, on your laptop, on your tablet. But if you want to join us, just call on in and press 1 on your keypad. You can join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God's willing, we are continue to be faithful to that. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and we have the archives of all of our past shows. I just was on the archive recently, too. I just posted a show on Facebook from 2015, and Pastor Larry Watkins was on there, so that brother been around a while. So I posted a rebroadcast, Oldie and Goodie, from 2015 just on the Facebook page recently. So, again, brothers, we encourage you to join us. Be part of the conversation and pray that something was said tonight, today, that would be blessing and motivate you. Elder Mark, what do you got to say for closing? And then Larry Watkins, sir, could you please close us out in prayer? Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, my brothers, I appreciate you all for taking the time to listen. For those that were live, those that will go back to the archive and listen in, I just pray that something was shared. And I just want to read one quick sentence that's in chapter 6. And it's just, repentance is necessary for salvation. It's a changed mind that results in a changed life. It's putting off old attitudes and actions and replacing them with righteous. When we are in a place of repentance, when we give up our old ways, we can stand to be an example to our brothers. We can stand to be an example to those that are still dealing with the things that we were caught up in as well. So I pray that you still take time, that after your repentance, in God moving in your life, that you spend time with those that still need to see the example of God. You know, each and every day we're poked, we're prodded, we're pushed. But our example, our testimony can be that very thing that helps someone else get through to the place that they need to be, to get to the place to answer the call as a godly man. So continue to walk as examples. Continue to walk upright. Continue to be lifted. Continue to know that we're not speaking from a place of we've got it all together, but from a place of God is working on us, just as we pray God will continue to work on you. So be blessed, my brothers. In this Christmas season, I encourage you to just share who God is, share who he's been for you, and allow someone else to see what salvation can do. My brothers, I just pray blessings on you, and thank you, Deacon Fall, for the opportunity. Pastor Larry, as always, my brother, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Amen, amen. Pastor Mark, always a pleasure to be with you. I appreciate your insights and thoughts. Deacon, always a pleasure. We've been together for a while, so it's always a pleasure to get together again. This has been a great conversation. It's been a great opportunity. The last thing I want to leave with you is the fact that simply the Bible says that when Zacchaeus got saved, his whole household got saved. And I want men to understand the ability and the power that we have, that we have the ability to change the world. And we can do it at a grassroots level just by helping one man, by helping one person, by helping Zacchaeus, and speaking to that, he changed the world. He changed the community because now there's a new light. And all we have to do is open and share, deal with our issues, realize that we need to live on purpose and do what God tells us to do, and we can change the world. We can do it one person, one household, one community, one neighborhood, one city, one state at a time. We can change the world. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for this conversation, God, where you've allowed us to open up and understand that we need to be able to reach out to the lost. We have put on this earth to be salt, a preservative, to share flavor, and to be light, to give direction, and to give perspective. This is our job as men, and we need to reach back and help the lost. We need to reach back and help those who are looking for Jesus, but because of their flesh issues, because of their sins, because of their other issues, they cannot see him. But we need to be the ones to tell them, look, I see you. Come down. Let us help you. Father, we ask now that you would just empower us to be able to open our mouths and simply tell our story, which somebody may be waiting for. We ask now that you would bless Deacon and Elder so that they can, so that all that they have expended out, you restore back into them. For the other brothers in this conversation, we pray God's blessing upon you. We pray that God would move and grant you the needs of your heart. This we pray, and we thank you for all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, brothers.
God bless.
God bless.